Alrighty then. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome again to another edition of Liberty Unbridled. I'm your host, Ken Molman, and this is the My View Matters Radio Network. I don't know why the music got quite so soft all of a sudden. I just decided, hey, I'm going to turn myself way, way down. In fact, I better turn it off, because when it does that, usually then it decides to turn itself way, way up. There we go. Again, welcome, folks, to another edition of Liberty Unbridled. I am your host, Ken Molman, and this is the My View Matters Radio Network. Boy, it's almost election season. Or it is election season, but it's almost the end of the election season, I guess I should say. It all comes down to the end. And I don't know about you all. I hate this time of year. And I know I'm a little bit weird. I'm a political junkie. And, people aren't the political junkies that I am, or most normal people, I guess, I should say. But, oh, my gosh, I'll tell you, I am just, this year especially, I'm glad that it's over. I'm glad that we're coming to an end. We've got, at this point, we have a week and a couple of days, and it'll all be over at this moment, just a couple minutes ago. The polls will be closing out in eastern Kentucky at this time, a week from Tuesday. And like I said, I'm kind of glad it's over. I don't know. This has been a horrible, for me anyway, a horrible election season. I think this has been the worst election season we've seen. I can't believe how bad it is. See here, we've got our business to get to here first. Hang on just a moment. All right, so let's see, the randomly generated political rhetoric this week. Political rhetoric generator says, I want an America where internet pirates and Iranian extremists can't undermine our right to bear arms. And yeah, it's not supposed to make sense. in other things, our random correlation this week, showing again that correlation is not causation. I always mess it up when I say that. But correlation is not causation. This week's spurious correlation, for the years 2008 to 2010, worldwide dividends paid by petroleum corporations directly correlate with the number of physical copies of video games sold in the UK. Yeah, I don't know. There's obviously no real thing there. Physical copies of video games sold in the UK have nothing to do with worldwide dividends paid by petroleum companies, but, whatever. That's not the point, right? I wanted to start tonight because this election coverage is just making me really upset. I'm about to blow a gasket because the media is being duplicitous. They are being moronic. They're spewing hypocritical BS, and I'm really, really getting tired of it. There comes a point where, you're just dumb. You don't know what's going on. Then there's the, okay, are you really for real still talking about this? And then there's the, okay, you're just full of BS. You're full of it. And that's the phase I'm at now, because reporters here, and what spawned all this, of course, is that the major papers in the state all did their endorsements this week, and in the Senate race, the endorsements were all like half-hearted. Well, these guys all suck, but we picked this one. And when I say all suck, they only qualify between Grimes and McConnell. They again ignored the fact that Patterson is in the race. They again ignore the fact that the reason Patterson never got any traction is because they ignored him from the start. Again, they ignore or they – it's hilarious because they're like, oh, my gosh, between Grimes and McConnell, this is so bad. I mean, it's just so, so bad. It's just awful. It's the worst decision we've ever had to make. I mean, I just want to gouge my eyes out having to think about this. It's so bad. Give me a pencil. I want to stick it in my ear. It's so bad. But we choose this one. of these two. But my favorite was the, you know, they're not even talking about issues that really matter. Well, no kidding, dummy. That's because you guys ignored the third candidate in the race. And when you ignore the third candidate, a two-party race always devolves into they're dumber than I am, so vote for me, because that person sucks worse than me. And that's what this race devolved into. When KET changed the criteria, when the media refused to acknowledge that David Patterson even existed on the ballot, there were a number of papers in the state that, whether accidental or just lazy, didn't even list him in their sample ballots or their sample layouts, even though the Secretary of State's website shows Patterson as a option. What does that take, like 5 seconds of research? I have to use the internet. Oh, my gosh. I'm so very frustrated with the media this cycle. They have totally and completely failed. Totally and completely failed. I've talked about with a lot of people, because understand the media does play in a very, very important role in our system. Because even when the politicians do wrong, and even when the courts do wrong, and even when the corporations do wrong, the media is supposed to be a backstop for the most egregious of those occurrences. T changes their criteria 5 different times in the middle of the election cycle, in inviting Grimes and McConnell to participate in both the primary and the general with 0 criteria, and then have an ever-increasing criteria for Patterson, or anybody else, but I mean, the only one was Patterson. What does that say? But does the media report on it? No. No. Certainly we're not going to out one of our own for that, to be whatever, sacrifices their own principles, admits under oath that they don't care about their own value and mission statements. For what? The worst debate I've seen on KET in my lifetime? I mean, that was literally the worst. It was horrible. There were no issues discussed. We harped on the stupidity of who Grimes voted for. Who cares? We know she voted for Obama. Everybody knows it. I don't know why she didn't admit it. Who cares? What are you going to do to unleash this economy that wants so desperately to recover? What are you going to do to the NSA and other government agencies from spying on everyday average Americans, assuming that everyone is guilty until proven innocent, the inverse of what it's supposed to be in our system? What are you going to do about the $17.5 trillion in debt that our country has accumulated? What are you going to do about the total breakdown of the Fourth Amendment? These are the questions people want to know the answers to. Instead, we're asking, who did you vote for in 2008, 2012?
Well, I voted for Mitt Romney. Who did you vote for, Ms. Grimes?
Who cares? Like, it's something you should be proud of. I proudly voted for Mitt Romney. Oh, wow. Yeah, he was stellar. Super. Woo!
I'm so proud that I'm proud I didn't vote for him or Obama.
This campaign has been a campaign, this entire election cycle has been an election about stupidity. And I believe it's being done on purpose. You know, a friend of mine and one of the folks that's often on this network, Ed Martin, who is on usually, I believe, Monday nights with Ed Springsteen, who is the owner and talk show host extraordinaire of the network, he had an interesting thought, and I think he's on to something. I think I know what's going on now, and I think he's the one that triggered it, and we've figured out what's up. Intentionally in filibuster mode. It's intentionally in do-nothing mode. There is so much turmoil and so much anger at everything right now
that basically they've gone into a fail-safe mode where they do nothing. Because anything they do can be criticized. Anything they do can cause change, and any change can be criticized. But the status quo, as bad as it is, claim you're trying to fix it, but boy, you know, we just can't get anywhere because of X, Y, Z. It's harder to point out a flaw. They're not doing anything to say, hey, you guys did this and it broke this, and that's why things are messed up. They're not doing anything in that regard. There's nothing to point to say that they've done something right or wrong. The very last thing we can really point to is Obamacare. Yeah, and we've heard a lot about that. Guys, that was passed in 2009. That was 5 years ago. I mean, the last major thing before that was the bailouts. That was 6 years ago. We haven't done anything. The country's just been frozen in time in 2009. Since then, nothing's actually getting solved. Nothing's actually getting fixed. No one's actually doing anything. We're being distracted by dumb things like Ebola. Because make no mistake, as deadly as Ebola is, your chances of catching Ebola are pretty slim. Now, we can sit here and argue over the stupidity of the American policy of intentionally bringing infected people to America. But like we talked about last week, the reality is it's a distraction. There's nothing to Ebola, at least not right now. We've got lots of real issues to talk about. Should we be getting involved deeper and deeper into the Middle East? I mean, personally, my opinion, I think we've dug that hole deep enough, it's time to stop digging. That's my opinion. Something that should have been debated this time around. It should have been part of the discourse. But it wasn't. Are we going to continue to just mount up debt? Just rack it up, cha-ching, 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 nonstop. Yeah, by the dollars, Obama has spent the most money. But as a percentage, he's right on par with Bush. The rate of growth is on par with what Bush did. So all you finger pointers out there, oh my gosh, you get with Obama, didn't he build up the debt? Well, yeah, he did, and so did Bush before him. Talking about any of that? Of course they're not talking about that. They're not talking about debt. If there's one thing that's not being talked about at all in this campaign, it's debt. Because, boy, the D's and the R's both have their hands in the blood of the sweat and labor of our children and our grandchildren is on the hands of the D's and the R's alike. They have spent us into oblivion for nothing. Nothing. What have we gained? Nothing. Nothing. Thanks, guys. The NSA, the spying on American, every American, innocent Americans, doing dirty things like intentionally routing internet traffic and other things outside of the country and back in, so that they can monitor it because, well, it's leaving the country, which, hey, I agree you can monitor stuff leaving the country for the purposes of defense. I'm okay with that. But when you're gaming that system and intentionally routing things out of the country and back in just to be able to monitor it, that's cheating. That's cheating, guys. Seriously, that's cheating. And that should be a no-no. Wise, I just don't like the idea that we're now more and more, more than ever, we're all considered guilty until proven innocent. I don't like it. And neither should you. You know, we rebelled against that kind of system in the Revolutionary War. You used to have to, under the British rule, under tons of different countries, the dictators, they required that if you were charged with a crime, you had to prove you were innocent. not the other way around. Innocent until proven guilty was a revolutionary concept, but a very, very, very important one, because it put the onus on those with power to prove that they were justified in the use of that power. It's all being eroded right now. It's all going away. We didn't talk about internet censorship. We didn't talk about internet tax even. We didn't, oh God, we certainly didn't talk about any tax stuff. Oh, we can't talk about that. Definitely don't talk about the internet. Can't talk about that. I mean, what else is there that we can't talk about here? I mean, even the Ebola issue drives me crazy, because we could have actually had a decent conversation. It could have led into a nice conversation about immigration, the role that the country plays, and what things should and shouldn't be allowed. I mean, there could have been a real conversation there, but no, we didn't have that either. Uh-uh. No, what we got was Kentucky needs, Obama needs Grimes, Kentucky needs McConnell. Thanks for that bumper sticker slogan. That solved. What did that solve? Oh, yeah, nothing. Absolutely nothing. No problems were solved. We got, I'm trying to even remember what Grimes' campaign's been all over the place. I don't know that they ever actually settled in on a theme, which is why I think they're in as bad a shape as they are. I think they would actually be winning had they been able to come up with a quick, slick bumper sticker slogan from the get-go and just hammer that sucker home. Not to say that McConnell's team had it from the beginning, but once they did the whole Obama needs Grimes, Kentucky needs McConnell thing, I mean, that was strong. Make no mistake, it's a bumper sticker slogan. And for the masses of stupid people out there that aren't paying any bit of attention and are corralled by fear, hey, that worked. I really wish we could have elevated the conversation, though, because there's a lot of things that we really needed to talk about. I see co-host Dave is here, and I appreciate him being here, because we're going to talk about all this stuff tonight, and I want his input. I want your input, too. What are the things that should have come up in this Senate race that haven't come up because we're too busy doing stupid tagline phrases, bumper sticker slogans, rather than actual real issues and actually solving real problems? Oh, the economy and jobs. There's a good one. We never talked about why it is that there are no jobs. We've never talked about how, despite the bogus, stupid, bogus unemployment numbers, employment is not back up. It's just that there's people that have fallen off, and that our labor participation rate is the lowest it's been since early 1978. We haven't talked about that. That's kind of important. The fact that the percentage of people working hasn't been this low since 1978. Hello, that's like my entire lifetime's been erased. Every gain in economically in my lifetime has been erased. It's kind of a big deal. I guess it's just frustrating to me to hear the media lament, oh my gosh, look at all this money. I mean, boy, you know, money is ruining elections. Oh, it's just so horrible. And then with a straight face, turn around and say, yeah, well, Mr. Patterson, we didn't pay attention to you because you didn't raise enough money. And yes, they have said that. That's exactly what they said. KET said that from their stupid threshold thing where they changed it from $10,000, which was, I mean, enough, whatever, to $100,000. And, of course, they hid those thresholds because they knew we could hit those or hide those or beat them up over them, make a big enough stink about it, and we could probably crack it. There are ways around all that stuff. It's just a joke. That's all. It's a joke. The media has failed. And when the media fails, what do you do? That's my big question. What do you do? Do you go out and try to challenge the media head on? Do you try to start your own media company? Do you harass the existing media companies? Trust me, by the way, that doesn't work. Harassing the existing companies, they don't care. One thing for sure, a lot of more and more of these news outlets are not even pretending to be unbiased anymore. They're not even trying. It's rather pathetic. I see we've got a couple callers. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to put us on hold here. I'm going to run us through the break early. When we come back, we'll talk about what you wanted to talk about in this Senate race. What do you think is missing? What's been missing for you? What is the squandered opportunity due to a derelict media? We'll be back here in just a few moments. You are listening to Liberty Unbridled on the My View Matters radio network.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
We're back, folks. You are listening to Liberty Unbridled on the My View Matters Radio Network. And during the break, I found a story. Apparently in the Ukraine, Darth Vader is running for parliament. I'm trying to find out if this is legit or just silliness. I can't tell. I don't know. I don't know. I can't tell if this is a real story or not, but either way, it's pretty funny. Anyway, we're back, folks. I saw we had a couple of folks in the queue, and I don't want to keep them waiting too long here. I think one of them, let's bring in co-host Dave first. Co-host Dave, are you there?
I am here. Hello, Ken.
Hey, man. It looks like we've got our friend Randolph in the queue here as well wanting to speak, so I want to bring him on first. Hey, Randolph, is that you?
Yep, that's me. How are you doing tonight, Ken?
I'm doing all right, other than I'm very disappointed in the media. I call here, I kind of know where you're heading. What was it that you would have liked to have heard in this Senate race that wasn't brought up?
That wasn't an obscenity? Okay.
Yes.
I wanted to know why both parties haven't agreed to using the carrot instead of the stick on coal regulations. I mean, the Republicans are so gung-ho on keeping the coal-fired plants going and keeping them polluting our atmosphere, and the Democrats are so intent on shutting them down, nobody wants to work together to work out a compromise. There's a way you can have your cake and eat it, too, in this. And I think that, my ideas were so dangerous that immediately Big Coal, who was watching that debate, to make sure that both Chandler and Barr were sticking to the party line on this, said, nuh-uh, we can't have this. He's bringing forth dangerous ideas about, about improving our coal fire plants.
Well, I do think that energy policy is one. And when I saw you in the queue, I'm like, oh, how did I forget energy policy? Energy policy is a huge issue that we needed to talk about. I mean, it's not just even the coal. Coal's been in the news, but it's all, it's coal versus no coal. And it's like, well, wait a second. There's a lot more to energy policy than just coal. Certainly coal is a big deal in this state. Well, it's not just that. We're putting in hydro plants all up and down the Ohio River, which is great. Hydroelectric power, I'm a huge fan of hydro. Dude, the water's going that way anyway. You might as well harness it.
Exactly.
I mean, there are so many opportunities to talk about solutions when it comes to energy. The real problem I have more than anything, let's say that the two plants they're shutting down in eastern Kentucky are the worst pollutant, awfulest things in the whole wide world. We got to shut them down, right? Because they are just the worst, which is not true, but let's say that they are. Certainly, letting them run for an additional 6 months is not going to be the make or break, right? Why don't we let it, stick around until they start spinning these hydro plants up? Because the hydro plants are not going to be online for another year or two after they shut the coal plants down. So that's going to cause energy scarcity, which is going to cause price spikes. Why not have a common sense thing where if you're going to spin something down, you first spin up its replacement? I mean, we do this in my field in IT all the time. You bring the new system, you make sure it's going to work and everything's going great, and then you migrate from the old to the new and you go on. And these are the kind of things that are common sense. And by the way, and I think Patterson brought up something on the coal stuff too that was really smart. You know what? Our plants, these ones in Eastern Kentucky that are shutting down, may be dirty, right? They may be pretty dirty. But I guarantee you, they're not as dirty as the plants in China where all the coal that we aren't going to burn is going to end up getting burnt. And so in the end, we're actually polluting more by not burning it here.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff we need to talk about.
And big coal is all afraid that if we open these hydro plants, that it's going to put coal miners out of business. That's rubbish. There's always going to be a market for Kentucky coal, and not just that, there's always going to be a market for the other minerals that we can extract from the earth as well.
Well, there's no doubt. And here's the reality of it. You know, markets change over time. You know, just because people are working in a job doesn't mean that the government should artificially prop up a particular industry. I mean, I'm quite sure that when the telephone came around, the telegraph operators were all, oh, my gosh, it's new. But you know what? That changed, and it changed over time. And I'm quite sure that all the telegraph operators were able to get new jobs and that they survived. And even that, over time, the telephone operators have been phased out over the last 20 years or so. You know, and for better or for worse, we still have telephones. We still have means to get phone numbers. You know, nobody calls 411 anymore for a phone number, not unless you want to pay $5 to get a phone number, which no one does. And
which they look up on the internet anyway.
Well, yeah, for free, exactly. And that's the whole point, right? And now we all have the ability to do it ourselves. Why are we going to pay somebody $5 to do what we could just do on our phone anyway? The reality is, things change, and that's cool. My problem is that we're talking about where government gets its fingers in and it's messing with stuff. And I think you'll agree with me, Randolph. There's no brain behind what they're doing. It's not about doing the smart thing. It's about doing that pays off the certain cronies.
Look at what just happened up in the Michigan State Legislature, for example, that anti-Tesla bill that got, you know, not just rushed through the Michigan Legislature. I mean, it got rushed through with the astounding approval of both parties. They can say, well, we have bipartisan support on this because they're killing jobs. Neither of them want Tesla in their market disrupting the gasoline automobile industry. Tesla's redesigning the market.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I know for a fact that Michigan actually has a large number of alternate power sources, nuclear and wind and all that kind of stuff, that, you know, using an electric car would actually make sense in Michigan based on their infrastructure. And they've just made it illegal to sell them there. Oh, because, oh, well, we need to protect the dealership model. We want to make sure that dealers get their cut. Why?
And that's just going to be the first step. It's not just that they're going to make, you know, selling Tesla cars illegal in Michigan. They're going to make owning Tesla cars illegal in Michigan soon enough. They're going to say, well, these vehicles aren't safe. How do we know the batteries aren't going to explode? How do we know this? How do we know that? That kind of stuff.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that fight goes because that's going to be trying to trump the Department of Transportation. So we'll see how that goes. We haven't really heard much from co-host Dave. Co-host Dave, how are you feeling on energy policy?
Energy policy in Kentucky? Or energy policy overall, because I'm more concerned about Kentucky. You know, we're talking about the Senate race.
Sure.
I think it's a dying conversation. You know, so many coal plants in West Virginia and Kentucky, you know, have already been shut down that it's just kind of, you know, it's beating a dead horse, you know, almost at this
point. It's a moot point. It's a moot point to say who killed what jobs. It's a moot point.
Right.
Well, the reality
gone,
is, they,
you know, is
these
the
and ours already did it. So, I mean, it's not like one side or the other did it. They both did it. So, let's go on. Yes.
Right. But you were asking what's missing from this race. My immediate answer, I think, is more direct than most people can understand, which is sanity. That's what's missing from the race.
Yeah.
But to answer it in a way that more people can understand, I think it's a trifecta, you know, of things that are missing. Three things are education, jobs, and defense.
Okay.
education. Well,
yeah.
In Kentucky, sure. You know, the slogan is, in Kentucky, education pays. No, in Kentucky, you will pay for education long after you've received it.
I always joke, Kentucky, where education pays. It pays somebody, but it isn't the students.
It pays the basketball players.
It's not the right people, but it does pay somebody.
Oh, it pays the basketball players, all right.
Yeah, the wrong people paying. You know, it's supposed to be, you know, the students, which, you know, leads right into the other point, which is jobs. You know, neither McConnell nor Grimes have any plan. And if you honestly take a look at the labor participation rate across the country, it's horrible. But if you look at the labor participation rate in Kentucky specifically, it is downright deadly.
Over 10% of unemployment in Kentucky.
That's higher than the national average. That's unemployment. See, the thing is, unemployment, they've dorked around with that number. And they've made it,
that's unemployed people with an asterisk
behind it. Well, they put an asterisk behind unemployment because now they exempt all these people. And make no mistake, the D's and the R's both did this. They kept taking classes of people out of that unemployment number and kept taking them out. And they did it because unemployment was slowly edging up, and they didn't want to make it look like they were causing it. So what they did was they tweaked what unemployment meant. And so when you hear these unemployment numbers, I just laugh. Because it's like, okay, well, we're at 6-point-something% unemployment. Let's forget the fact that 25% of able-bodied Americans aren't working. It's like, well, wait a second. What?
Yep.
So, Randolph, I don't want to have to keep you on here all day. Is there anything else had in particular?
I'm going to call it, you know, the Kickstarter rule, I think, that KET was afraid of. They weren't afraid that Patterson was going to run. They were afraid that I was going to run. And they were afraid that I had enough support on Facebook, especially from where 8,000 people voted for me, that I could have just, you know, gone on Facebook and said, hey, would you mind contributing $10, $20, $50 to this Kickstarter campaign so that I can meet that $100,000 fundraising goal and get on the KET debate this year, where they seem to think it's all about money. And by the way, you know, I'll tell you what, if I'd won $100 million in the Powerball, still found an excuse to kick me out. I honestly believe that there's no amount of money that would have satisfied KET, and they would have found some excuse to keep me out of that debate.
Well, and I don't know if it's just you, Randolph. I mean, we're seeing this all over the country, and you're exactly
others,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if anybody with an alternate viewpoint outside of the D or the R, if you're not toeing the line of the D's and the R's, they're going to find a way to keep you out. And we've seen this in other places. There were other states where the public radio or television station made the criteria so bad that no one qualified. And then they just waved a magic wand and said, okay, D's and R's, you're in. Come on in, guys.
Ken, do you have the transcript from the lawsuit on KET? Because I want to send that entire transcript to the ombudsman at PBS and specifically highlight, check out on this PDF, check out page whatever, and see where KET admits that they don't care about journalistic standards. Let's see how far that goes with PBS when they realize that they've had some programming on PBS recently, on KET, that's actually had to include Patterson, that ballot bomb program, remember?
No, I didn't see this. What was it? It was a what?
It was a program called Ballot Bomb, and they had to include Patterson in that. I think to satisfy PBS's journalistic integrity requirements.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Me a copy of that PDF, and I'll try to send it to the ombudsman at PBS. All right.
Randolph, thank you for calling in, sir. Yep, you have a good night. Thanks, Randolph. And I should mention, by the way, in that lawsuit, that's still going, but that's another story for another day. Dave, what other things? We touched on education and how somebody's getting paid. It's just not students who go to Kentucky schools. What else do we have? We have the economy and the lack of jobs. What were some of the other things? You listed a couple of things, a few things.
I listed three. The third is jobs, education, and defense. And you wouldn't think that, you know, talking about defense would, you know, be something that we would be, you know, talking about, you know, for the state of Kentucky. But, you know, remember, we're talking about a Senate race here. And my concern is that as of right now, to the best of my knowledge, we do not have a senator and have not had a senator that will actually represent the interests of the Commonwealth in D.C. What I mean by that is, and our listeners are a fairly educated bunch, and I don't want to go saying anything radical, although, you know, the way it works in Kentucky actually is kind of radical. But, you know, all I'll say is this. I don't believe that McConnell does stand with the Constitution on the issue of defense as it relates to Kentucky. I don't believe that if push came to shove that he would. I believe that he would side with the Fed and not the Commonwealth, which is definitely not what we're looking for. I'm positive that Grimes would take that exact same stand. And so that's another thing that's missing from the race, in my opinion. I believe that Patterson would, in fact, stand by the Commonwealth and the Constitution, you know, when it comes to defense. And in regards to what it is, our listeners are fairly educated. They probably already know. But for any of you that are listening that don't know how defense works in Kentucky, take a look at our Constitution and see what it says.
Yeah.
Who has control over the defense in the state of Kentucky?
I know who. The governor.
Yeah, I do too.
So, yeah.
And of course,
you know,
that brings up a whole other issue. We don't have a governor that will do it either.
Well, yes, and that's another story that we can address that maybe next year as, you know, Kentucky's election season. I should mention, for those of you who are just as burned out on all this as I am, hey, don't worry, we're going to start right back over as Kentucky's executive branch elections will all be held next year as well, which will be absolutely brutal, to say the least. Man, it's been a long week. I do hope that you know, Senator McDaniel, who is now running as a lieutenant governor candidate on the Republican side with James Comer, had proposed a constitutional amendment to move the executive branch elections over to even years. Now, he wanted them to align with presidential years. I think for a separation of powers, checks and balances, balanced government perspective, it'd probably be better to move it to the off year, even numbered, but off presidential cycle election, and that way you're doing president in one cycle and you're doing executive branch of Kentucky in another. But point is, next year we've got a whole other set of elections statewide, and this whole mess starts all over again, literally from a legal perspective, at midnight, you know, or 12:01 a.m. the day after the election. So on Wednesday the 5th, it's a whole new election season, and we're starting all over again. Oh boy.
Yeah, and I've made this point before, but to anybody who's listening, I'm going to go ahead and remind you, pay more attention to what's happening with your local elections. It is by far and away more important. It will affect your life far more quickly, you know, than the federal races. Pay attention to the federal races, but please pay attention to the things that actually matter to you.
Yeah, and that is true. I mean, the local stuff is very, very important. You know, Kentucky faces a lot of serious issues, and we've talked about a lot of those issues on this show over the course of the almost 3 years we've been here. We need to be on top of that stuff, and next year is a good opportunity to really beat the drum on those, to start talking about real pension reform, to talk about you know, our tax structure and the problems with our business environment. These are all things that are fair game next year that have a much more direct effect on your everyday life than the dum-dums in D.C.
Yep. Oh, and also pay more attention to your gut. I think
to your
gut, your belly, that sixth feeling that you get in your stomach. You know, when you start listening to a politician and you start getting that sick feeling in your stomach, we've gotten away from that for whatever reason. You know, we're like, oh, you know, that doesn't mean anything. Just, you know, just must be just the way that I feel. I'm not sure. Maybe I had the wrong kind of burger for lunch or something. No, you know, that is your whatever it is that you believe in. You know, your evolution talking to you, your creator talking to you, you know, saying, look, you know, there's something wrong here, and you're tuned in, you know, in a way that makes you see it. When you listen to McConnell speak and you get that sick feeling in your stomach, pay attention to it. It means something.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's, you know, it's not going to be a big alarm bell that goes off. There's not going to be like, now I forget the name of that show, but the, you know, danger, Will Robinson. You're not going to hear sirens and alarms and robots screaming at you that something's wrong. You've got to know
that
something
cool.
is up. It would be cool. I mean, how awesome would that to be able to do that? You know, to have something go off every time somebody's just bull-faced lying to you, you know? I don't know, Dave. I go off
every time somebody bare-faced lies to me.
Well, yes, I know. But the problem is that, you know, these politicians, they've done a very good job of controlling their crowds, making sure their audience is all full of supporters. I mean, I've never seen such a controlled race in my life. You know, Fancy Farm, they rearranged everything to make sure that only the quote-unquote VIPs were in the areas that were normally reserved for regular people, for regular supporters. And they did that because the cameras, the way they're set up, they can only see that area, right, the VIP area now. And that's been done to make sure that the event has been scripted. The show will go on as planned and as predicted. They set new rules for decorum at the event so that, the fact that in the past it's been a bunch of booing and jeering, well, we're going to change that this time around. This is going to be a completely different Fancy Farm. I mean, everything about this race is completely bogus. It's a show. The whole thing. I mean, I feel like I'm an extra in a sitcom, except it's not funny. You know what I mean?
It's not funny. If you were an extra in a sitcom, you'd be getting paid.
Well, there's that too. It's like I'm paying to be an extra in a sitcom, which is really weird. I mean, it's just, this has been the goofiest race I've ever seen, you know, and make no mistake, I've only been hardcore really involved for just under a decade now. So this, you know, 2006 was my first real hardcore involved in a political race, in politics. But man, none of them have felt as staged. None of them have felt as controlled. None of them have felt as completely bogus as this race. And I think that is that feeling in the gut that everybody has, that everybody's like, this race sucks. I think that McConnell knows he's going to win because he's going to control everything. I think Grimes knows she's going to lose, but she's looking for, you know, the name recognition to be able to bounce to higher office. The thing is a joke. The media is complicit. I think the media knows what's going on. It's just a joke.
Don't make no mistake about
thing.
It. The media is part of it.
I know. They're definitely in on the joke. Hey, man, the joke's on us.
We go off on rants sometimes, and that's one of mine. But the media, the way that they act, the way that they react, the way that they don't act and don't react, you know, to things that are important and they should be, and the way that they react to things that aren't important and they shouldn't be paying any attention to. At all. That does drive me absolutely crazy. But the thing that drives me even crazier than that is the people that listen to it. It is boggling my mind that, you know, that we're still willing to swallow. We're on a podcast. Mm-hmm. We're not on the air. And I don't give a crap about the FCC anyway. We're swallowing a big turd sandwich.
Right. You can say turd sandwich here. I don't care. But no, it's not that we're swallowing it. We're being force-fed. I mean, the only real choice that we're being given here by the media is whether or not we want it with two pieces of bread or one. I mean, that's really what the choices are. We're still being force-fed this sandwich we don't want. And we're going to get the same results regardless. It doesn't matter.
Honestly, Dave,
what's the difference going to be if McConnell wins or Grimes wins? I mean, let's be honest here. And this is something that I've been really struggling to try to get people to tell me. And everybody comes back with these stupid things that I know are just blatantly untrue. Well, you know, if McConnell is the Senate Majority Leader, he'll be able to bring back special perks for Kentucky. Really? He was the Majority Whip, which is like the number two dude for, 8 years? And I don't think anything got any better here.
I'll answer
that. I mean,
I'm
just saying. Go ahead.
The difference between whether McConnell wins this race or Grimes wins this race.
Yeah.
Now, first, let's be clear. Those are my only two options, right?
I mean, based on the polling, as much as I want Dave to win, you know, he's sitting somewhere around 5%. So barring some sort of Hail Mary miracle, which, you know what, I'm on my knees praying, but I'm just saying it's
a
long road from here in 9 days.
And then we would have something real to talk about, you know, in that case. If Kentucky wants Kentucky back, you know, vote for Patterson. But if we're going to swallow the turd sandwich and vote for, you know, the chocolate turd or the vanilla turd, you know, what's the difference between those two? You know, Grimes and McConnell, what would the difference be? The difference would be exactly the same as the difference between whether Obama got elected to a second term or Romney. That would be the difference.
Which is nothing.
That's right. Zero. Nope. I'm going to go with 0.01% difference.
Yeah. I can go with that.
Because it's so minuscule, I don't really even know what it is. I don't know what the difference would be. But that would be the difference.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the reality is, there'd be someone with a different gender as our senator. There you go.
A less grating voice. If I have to sit down and listen to one of them speak, you know, then and I got to choose the voice I was hearing, I'd choose Grimes. If I had to choose between those two, honestly, I'd just turn the radio off. But.
Yeah, and I think I've mentioned before, I mean, I've talked to Ms. Grimes. I actually like her as a person. I haven't talked to her at great length. Not like I'm conspiring. I get all that garbage all the time, folks. I met her at Fancy Farm in 2012. She was very, very nice to me. She was very nice to my family. I'm sure that McConnell probably could be nice to me and my family for 2-3 minutes as well. I've never had that opportunity. I don't know.
She's a nice gal, but that doesn't mean anything. You know,
right.
I talk to people about that all the time, too, and I know I'm preaching to the choir right now, but, you know, people tell me all the time, you know, you're not giving Obama a fair shake, blah, 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 blah. You know, you should really, you know, pay attention. He's a nice guy. You know, you could probably sit down and have a beer with him. I don't give a crap. I'm sure I would. I'm sure I'd be able to sit down with Obama and have a beer. You know, well, I don't drink beer, so I'd be drinking root beer. Keep you drinking beer, you know, and we have a good old time. That's fine, but it does not mean that he's qualified to run the country. And when it comes to a Senate position, I don't care how good of a person, you know, Grimes is. I really don't care. That might sound harsh, but it doesn't matter. It just does not matter. You know, my mom, God bless her soul, she is a wonderful, wonderful person. She's a good person. No way would she get my vote to say, I don't know, build a rocket. You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how good of a person she is. She's not a rocket scientist. You know, I don't care how good of a person Grimes is. She's
right.
She's not the right choice for Kentucky.
Well, right. Well, and likewise McConnell. I mean, but neither one of them is actually going to solve the problem. And I want to emphasize a couple of things. Number one, I don't think even who we elect is who's actually running the show. I think these guys are just front men. They're told what to do, and they, you know, do whatever they're told. You know, the majority of these folks, even in the state house, don't read the bills. They're told by leadership or by a whip, hey, vote for this or don't vote for this. And they're, oh, okay. You know, the reality is that most of our legislators couldn't give a damn less what the issue is. They're interested in staying there, getting their perks, bringing home something little something from back to their district, and getting reelected. And that's their primary concern. The other thing I want to emphasize real quick as we're running out of time is, you know, just because Patterson at this point is probably not going to win, again, I'm hoping for the Hail Mary here, doesn't mean that you should give up, doesn't mean that you shouldn't vote. For the love of God, don't not vote just because your person's not going to win. That's a terrible reason not to vote. Folks, your vote is your voice. And I want to emphasize that. Your vote is your voice. We have a system by which change can occur peacefully through a ballot box. And though your voice, your change that you want may not win this time, a growing support for that change can cause others to look and say, you know, there were a lot of people that thought that way this time. I had to look into that. I don't even know what the heck that was. I mean, I'd never read anything in the paper because, you know, the paper was too busy not reporting anything. I ought to check that out, and it will encourage others to look. And even if you disagree with a particular candidate, I mean, don't let that discourage you from voting. You know, a lot of people I hear say that they're not going to vote at all because they don't like any of the choices in the Senate race. Usually they're talking about Grimes and McConnell, don't even realize that Patterson's in it. But the reality is there are good people down ticket. Again, we've talked about how the down ticket actually matters. Your state and local people matter. Your voice, your vote is your voice. Use your voice. If you are happy with the way things are going, then by all means vote for the people who got us here. If you are unhappy with the way things are going, then by God, do something different. Use your voice to say, I don't like where we are. And if you find yourself constantly in a state no one represents your voice, then you need to be the one who steps up in 2016 or 2018 or whatever and is the one who is the voice. Provide the voice for those who think like you. Dave, we got about a minute left. I want to give you the final thought, sir.
Well, you just brought up a good point in regards to a difference. You were talking about the track record, and you're talking about, you know, if you like where we're at now, then vote for the people that got us here. Okay, so there's a slight difference, you know, depending on how that goes. McConnell has a proven track record of, you know, doing what's wrong for the state of Kentucky. There's one point. You know,
but Grimes is backed by a machine that Grimes is backed by a machine that runs everything else.
Yeah, that's true. it is what it is. You know, and that's what we've got. One final thought. You mentioned something before the break. You asked a question. You were saying, "What do we do? You know, about the media? You know, do you go out and start your own, you know, media outlet?" I actually think that that's a viable solution as long as people aren't just doing that. Just everybody's doing that. You know, if everybody's doing that independently, then, you know, things just start to get washed out. You know,
right.
But if you have that feeling, do something, get involved. Get involved with a media outlet that does what you're looking for, you know, to be done, and participate in that and add to it. And if you can't find that, then do it. Find like-minded people and start that media outlet, because people out here are starving for the truth.
You're absolutely right, Dave. Dave, thanks. Randolph, thanks. Guys, that's the end of the show this week. Tune in again next week for another edition of Liberty Unbridled. It'll be our election show. We'll be taking bets on who's going to get what margins and everything else. Until next week, turn into the rest of the shows in the network. Monday, we're here Sunday through Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This has been another edition of Liberty Unbridled from the My View Matters Radio Network. Thanks, folks. See you next week.